Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three here on Fantasy Sports Today. It's Kevin Walsh and George Gertz. And George, we're talking about some of these rookie running backs and maybe the expectations that we could have for them. Now, the next two guys that ended up going in that round one, I actually think are perfect to compare against each other because I think their situations are incredibly different. Rashad Penny, picked by the Seahawks, I think it was a surprise pick for many. Not a lot of people saw him going in round one. I don't think anybody had him as the number two running back on their board. Sony Michel, a lot of people thought that he could get up in that first round. He does. He goes to the Pats at 31. I feel like their situations are incredibly different, where you can probably say that Penny's going to have a lot more guaranteed work than Michel. But when you consider the offensive line that he's going to be in front of, I don't know how great you would feel about that situation for Penny. Now, while Michel, I like the offensive line, I just always to trust Belichick and McDaniels to get the most out of a running back. The problem becomes, can you trust the work to be there enough with the way that they rotate so many things? Burkhead's still there. I know they added Jeremy Hill in the offseason. So when you look at those two guys, how do you compare them?
You want to ask me if I can trust a running back in a Bill Belichick offense? I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Would you rather trust him, though, than a guy who's going to run behind the Seahawks defense?
I mean, I don't know what Pete Carroll was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Pete Carroll was thinking. Does he not get it? I mean, your offensive line is putrid. I mean, it was bad last year, and Scott. I know Scott Engel trying to defend it, that's gonna better. It's at least average. Get out of here, Scott. All right, the yeah. offensive line was bad.
He's been doing that for
okay,
years.
And they. I mean, Russell Wilson deserves all the credit in the world for what he did last year. It was a joke. He was running for his life behind there, making plays. He accounted for every one except one touchdown for the Seattle Seahawks last year. It's my belief that he should have won MVP last year, only if they made the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, so the point was moot. But I was a big believer that he was MVP if they made the playoffs, because he was a one-man offense. He had to do everything for that team. It was like I said, it was a joke. And for them not to take an offensive lineman, it's like, what are you doing? Are you hoping he does it again? Are you hoping he doesn't get hurt? Because sooner or later, he's going to get hurt. So I was surprised they didn't take the top offensive lineman available. Really, I mean, almost shocked. You take a running back. And listen, they needed a running back too. I get it. But isn't this also the same situation that we keep talking about? Short shelf life. You know, you went short-term thinking there. Which maybe in some ways, you know, Pete Carroll may have to, because his job may be on the line. This team is declining. You know, I think it was Cliff Avril came out at some point and said he lost some players because of the play call in the Super Bowl. You know, when they did when they didn't run Marshawn Lynch to beat the Patriots, they threw the ball, got intercepted. That seems kind of silly to me for one play, but that he lost some players because of that. The defense is not what it used to be. You know, there's so many players. I mean, Richard Sherman's gone. Chancellor may not be able to play again. Avril's gone. Earl Thomas is not showing up. I guess he's going to get traded eventually. That would be my guess. Dallas certainly makes sense if those two teams can ever work out that deal. So that defense is not a lockdown defense anymore. You know, so I think Seattle has all sorts of issues here. I mean, all sorts of issues. New England, it's all about, are they going to run the guy? You know, are they going to become a normal team? I don't see that. You know, it's Tom Brady. They're going to throw the ball, but this does. Sony Michel gives them the best running back they've had since, in a long time where you actually have a running back. But as you said, you got Rex Burkhead there, James White there, Mike Gillisley's there, Brandon Bolden, Jeremy Hill. They won't all be there. I imagine at least one, if not two, get cut or traded or whatever. You know, and I think Gillisley's going to be one of those two, with Hill or Bolden being the other one. So, but still, I mean, are we going to be able to trust you? Where do you draft these guys? I think their talent is there for both players, but they both have issues. Michelle is going to be more playing time. How are they going to use him? Is he a first and second down guy? Is he a certain package guy? It's a mess. And I certainly don't trust that to draft him anywhere high. Yeah, and when you once again Rashad Penny, it's going to be the offensive line. Can he get anything going? I know he's a big guy, which is good because he's going to have to be his own blocker. And what I mean by that, he's going to have to the first guy's going to have to bounce off of him for him to make any yardage there. So there's not enough running backs in the NFL to go around. There's just not. So they're both draftable, but they're low end twos and threes for me until I see more, and they're both going to scare me. You know, in a dynasty draft, listen, I would have taken them top as soon as I could have. It's a different kind of draft. In a redraft league, you know, your normal leagues here, like I said, if there were running backs were as plentiful as players at other positions, you're probably talking round eight, nine. But because there's just not enough running backs, people are going to be taking shots at them round four, round five. That's where they're going to go. And you have no choice because, like I said, running backs are just way too shallow.
Yeah, I think the thing for Sony Michel that is my concern, I think that he will end up getting the most attempts out of the running backs in the group. I think that he'll probably get the most targets out of the group. It's him getting touchdown vultured pretty much by the likes of Jeremy Hill and Rex Burkhead. I could see him being option number three of those three guys when it comes to those goal line carries. And that's just because Jeremy Hill's been awesome at the goal line. He was doing it for a while in Cincinnati. And I know they liked what they got out of Rex Burkhead. Burkhead a lot of the times on the goal line as well. So that's kind of the thing that worries me about Michel. I do think that he is their most talented back in some time. And I wonder if they've been worried or wanting a guy of this level of talent, right? I mean, they spent a first-round pick on him. They have to think highly of him. But what still concerns me is just that red zone work, more specifically that goal line work, where, you know, he might out-attempt them by a lot, out-target them by a lot, but maybe only finish with, you know, four total touchdowns on the year, and somehow Jeremy Hill finishes with six total touchdowns. And Burkhead has, you know, five total touchdowns himself.
You got a point. It's Bill Belichick. Nothing would shock me. And that's going to hurt his value quite a bit. But, you know, we see that with a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams have some kind of committee. It's just that they're, I almost said the Red Sox, the Patriots have quite a few. You know, they have more than a committee. They have a full-blown, I don't know, organization going on at running back where you just don't know game in and game out. Because I've said this many times, and it's something I completely agree with, and more teams should probably do it like this. Bill Belichick doesn't care about your ego. He doesn't give a crap. Yeah, what you want to do, what you need, doesn't care. He cares about one thing: winning football games. And he's going to play the guy that week who he believes gives him his team the best chance to win. What guy matches up well in what situation? And you're right, it could be Burkhead that week. It could be Michelle that week. You know, it could be Hill if he's still on the team. It could be any one of these guys. Nothing would surprise me. It could be a game where they're just throwing the ball inside the red zone, or inside the 10, inside the 5, because that's what he believes gives him the best chance. It seems good on goal line defense, but not good against the pass. You know, that's what Bill Belichick will do. He doesn't care about anything else. Nothing else. Which is what's actually one of the reasons made him a great coach, because he doesn't care about egos, doesn't care about his players' feelings. You know, it's not what he's worried about. The media, the fans, no. Certainly doesn't care about fantasy owners. He wants to win football games. That's why he's been so hard to read. That's why when it comes to Bill Belichick and trusting his running backs, it's really hard to do.
Absolutely. And on the Rashad Penny side, I worry about the offensive line. And I feel like maybe there could be some better running backs there. I want to ask you about Darius Geis, because for me, I feel like he should have been the guy who was taken after Saquon Barkley. I actually thought that there was a chance Geis landed within the top half of the draft. For him to fall as far as he did, obviously the way those reports circulated, whether they were true or false, it obviously impacted where he got drafted. He ended up landing on the Redskins. I feel like, though, that could be a really, really good fit. I mean, we saw that Alex Smith did some good stuff last year with Kareem Hunt. I'm sure a lot of that credit does go to Andy Reid and also the talent that is Kareem Hunt. But we saw Alex Smith utilize the running back well within the passing game. And also, they really need a running back. Now, obviously, the thing about Geis is the fact that Chris Thompson is there. So that ultimately can cap kind of the value in the passing game of it. But I do think that Darius Geis leads this team in carries, and I think that he is a very talented running back.
Well, you said the only reason he slipped as far as he did was because of the issues he had, which I believe it was when he was caught lying. One team caught him lying. So that's what hurt him. And so other running backs jumped ahead of him. Still, he may have been a gift from God to the Redskins. They needed a running back. He fell to them. They got their man. You know, so it's maybe end up being the best thing for really both parties here. He'll get his best chance there, you know, to sort of resurrect his career. He's got Chris Thompson, who'll be the third down. Still going to be the third down guy there. You know, we forget about Thompson because he broke his leg last year. Alex Smith is now the quarterback. You know, wide receivers work probably still need some work there. Crowder, Richardson, Doxson. You know, they had Doxson had some moments where he looked like he was going to be a good receiver last year and moments where he disappeared. Crowder was also completely inconsistent. Richardson more of a deep guy there. Could Jordan Reed stay healthy? Ever? You know, we don't know how that's going to be. Jordan Reed, by the way, I won't be touching in fantasy drafts. It's automatic. Now it means I got to take a second tight end. You know, and I hate doing that. But as for guys, he's a guy I do like him. You know, and I've said it before. Yeah, it bothers me that Chris Thompson's there because that means some third down work he's not going to get. But more teams than not, especially when you're looking at running back twos, are going to have the same type of committee thing. I mean, we can go on team after team after team where we don't know who the number one is. You know, there are only so many Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott's in the world here. You know, that's why these guys go so high because, yes, we know they're the bell cow there. Most teams don't have that. You know, where you're going to have some kind of mix and match as far as who's the goal line guy, who's the reception guy, who's the first and second down guy. It's something we will have to deal with them probably more than half the league. So I don't get overly concerned about this, but I think Geist is going to be a nice running back for the Redskins, assuming he can get his head on straight.
Yeah, and I think that he will fit in. I don't know. Some of those reports seem to be incredibly odd, where they were saying that he had got into some stuff at school. LSU quickly said that report was not true at all. Then there was something that he got into pretty much a screaming match with the Eagles during their meeting, and the Eagles came out and said, well, that wasn't true. And, you know, the thing that became interesting, right, is he was the guy who came out and said the questions that he was asked at the draft combine. And basically, the NFL looked into it, and they were never able to confirm that it happened, but they weren't able to deny that it happened. And I'm going to tell you, George, a part of me wondered, you know, if in a way stuff got circulated in an attempt to hurt his draft stock because people were upset that he was talking about those things. And I hate to think that they would, you know, intentionally tank someone's draft stock like that. But when you look at the way that a lot of those reports that people tried to use to justify why he didn't go as high as people thought and how quickly they were refuted, it felt weird to me.
It does. I agree. Because you know, you're right. I mean, but I also go on the other thing. Boy, there's a lot of smoke there.
Sure.
This wasn't
sure.
One report. This is several reports, you know. So to me, I might go along with the smoke that's fired. Something's going on here, which is going to make me stay away from him. But actually, I can't argue with your premise there, that it just seems to be a little it was a strange situation. That's the bottom line. It was a strange situation. Whatever it might have been, it was weird. What was going on with him. And I understand teams, I wouldn't spend a premium pick either. You know, if I have doubts, I'm moving on here. Especially at running back week. We'll say it over and over again. Short shelf life. A lot of these guys don't work out. And you could find it later in the draft. So I wouldn't have gone that direction anyway. But there was, like I said, it was, bottom line, it was strange. But I think this could have worked out best for everybody. He goes to Washington where he's going to play. You know, so he doesn't have to worry about that. It's not a team that, yeah, it's the Redskins, but it's not the Cowboys where the media's going to be all over them, you know, Steelers, Patriots, someone like that. You hope the organization can, if there is a problem, can rein him in. He's hoping maybe all this also matures him. You know, you got to wake up and be a professional now. We'll find out.
I think that is a fantastic point in terms of with the way the running back position is, right? There is no reason to maybe pin yourself down with this situation, and you know, whether you can confirm them or deny them, right? If a lot of it starts to happen on draft day, you kind of just got to say to yourself, all right, look, I don't have time to figure this out. This doesn't look good. Let me take, you know, whether a Sony Michel, let me take Royce Freeman. Let me not be associated with this stuff that at the moment I don't have the time to turn around. So I think that it makes sense that a lot of teams balked on him. And I think though it is odd to say, whether they are certain. Another running back whose situation to me, it jumps out, and I was almost surprised by the pick, was Nick Chubb when he went to the Browns, right? After they had got Carlos Hyde, it told me that I thought there was no way they were actually then going to end up putting I didn't see that they were going to be taking Saquon Barkley, and they didn't. But then I was still surprised to see them add Chubb after having Hyde there. And that isn't necessarily to say that, Carlos Hyde is the end-all, be-all of running backs. But I thought maybe they got a young guy in Carlos Hyde. He's got a great partner in Duke Johnson. I wonder if they needed to spend that pick on Nick Chubb. And I'll tell you, Nick Chubb is a guy who, of all of these guys, I don't know how you could really draft him. It seems like a situation where, at least in a redraft, the workload does not seem like it's going to be coming at a premium.
Once again, Kev, I'm on board here. I don't think I'd have spent that pick on him as well either. Because you signed Hyde, you got Johnson, running back's pretty much fixed. I would have drafted Barkley if he was available at four. I would have done that. I'll say that because I think he's that different kind of talent there. But if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm probably going in a different direction too. Rather than taking Chubb, we'll never know this for sure. But unless your evaluation of Chubb is that he's the next Hall of Fame thing and he fell,
right?
I find that hard to believe, by the way. But if that's your evaluation, then once again, I'm okay. Because you have to follow your board. I get it. But, I'm not someone who necessarily believes taking the best player available at every pick. Not when it's close. Not if you're an NFL team, you're solid at that position. And with the addition of Hyde, they are solid. Now, if they're worried that Hyde, has a tendency to get hurt, not so much last year, but in his past, we need another running back, I can be convinced. That's where I'm going with this. I can be convinced. But bottom line is for me, if I was the GM there, I didn't really love the Cleveland Browns draft all that much. I thought they made several mistakes. I would have gone in a different direction here as well.
Yeah, and I think of the three guys, you're going to probably see Duke Johnson be the one who gets most of the love as we get closer and closer to the fantasy talk. Come back, talk a little bit more about these running backs and the Jets quarterback situation as well interests me. So we'll talk about that next on Fantasy Sports Today.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We are back here on Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz. Now, George, we're getting into some of this running back talk, and I think the Tampa Bay situation is certainly an interesting one, and maybe it could get a little more interesting. There is a report out that the Bucs could be interested in the services of Adrian Peterson. Now, in round two, they drafted Ronald Jones out of USC. I really like the talent. I think that he should be able to win that job in Tampa Bay. But you don't really want things muddying up the waters, and that's certainly what an addition of Adrian Peterson would do. Before you even get into, which one of those guys would win that job, just any interest in where AP even lands if it is Tampa?
I mean, I don't know why Tampa would want to do this. He's 33 years old, all right? He's not exactly coming off a big season last year. Was 3.5 yards a carry with Arizona, 3 with New Orleans. I mean, he's certainly on the downside of his career. You mentioned you draft Ronald Jones. So you want to give him a job? You have complimentary backs there in Barber. You got Charles Sims there as well, Jacquees Rogers. So I don't see why you'd want to do this. I honestly don't. He's a... I don't want to say a media circus, but the media will be following because it's AP, a future Hall of Famer. I just don't see the reason why you need to bring him in. I really don't. What are you hoping for here? I mean, really, what are you hoping for here? He really hasn't had a good season since 15. You know, we had the big year of almost 1,500 yards and averaged 4.5 yards a carry. Other than that, 16, 17, been blah. Really hasn't done much of anything here. So what are you hoping for here? I don't see the upside here. I don't see where the good thing is coming here. In my mind, you drafted Ronald Jones for a reason. It has to be your starting running back. You let him be the starter. You have to complement the backs with the Rodgers and Sims, whatever you want to use there, Barber, whatever it is. So you have enough depth there. It's interesting, but if I'm Tampa, I'm not doing this.
Here's the thing that I find the strangest is that we're getting Adrian Peterson rumors before DeMarco Murray. Like, I get it that DeMarco was moved on from in Tennessee. It made sense. They had Derrick Henry, who they really wanted to give a shot. And they brought Deion Lewis in. I think both of those guys at this point are better than DeMarco Murray. So I get that. I'm kind of surprised to see that DeMarco Murray hasn't landed anywhere, especially considering some teams like the Indianapolis Colts, whose running back situation is very uninspiring. But I can't imagine a team. I mean, maybe the prices are drastically different. I wouldn't think that they were. I don't think that they would be. Would really rather add an Adrian Peterson than a DeMarco Murray.
I would agree. I think Murray still has something left. Like, last year was a down year because of injuries more than anything else. And I think Murray could be a very good complimentary back at this point in his career. He'd be somebody I would look at. We haven't heard anything from DeMarco Murray. And I mean nothing. That is weird, what's going on there. And it's not like we've heard rumors that Murray's going to retire. You know, we haven't heard that. Last I heard, and this is back around free agency, that he visited the Dolphins. You know, I haven't heard zilch since. I mean, zilch. When it's after the draft now, so things should be heating up now. Once again, he's 30 years old, so he's younger than Peterson. Not really comparing the two, but he's had more success lately. You know, last year, was like I said, he was injured last year. That was fairly obvious to see. Averaged 3.6 yards a carry. I think he makes sense for a couple of teams. Once again, a complimentary back. You can give him 8 to 10 touches a game. Could be a goal line back for you. That's where I see Murray being. I think he'll pick up with somebody, but it looks like he's going to have to wait the training camp to do it.
That last update on RotoWorld, March 17th, that's more than 2 months ago. Well, was the last that we really heard about DeMarco Murray. And there are teams out there that could certainly use some help. So to just to have no interest in the guy, I find incredibly strange. I mean, again, perhaps it has to do contract-wise. Perhaps he himself wants to, wait this thing out. I mean, Frank Gore got a job before DeMarco Murray. I know Frank Gore's been all right. It's just, I feel like there has to be more in the tank. Ultimately, whether it be Adrian Peterson or someone else, you know, if an AP lands in Tampa Bay, does that then worry you if you're someone who maybe took Ronald Jones in a dynasty, or even if you're, you know, drafting around this point, could you say, maybe I want to just step back just because, you know, I wouldn't surprise me if Dirk Cutter all of a sudden fell in love with Adrian Peterson.
Once again, I agree with you. I wish I didn't. I'd like to argue, but it would definitely bother me because it's Adrian Peterson. He's not going to just sit there. It didn't work out with New Orleans when he just had to sit there. He got mad. He's in game one where in Minnesota they still didn't play him. So, yeah, you'd have to think there'd be a lot of pressure on Jones. What if he gets off to a slow start? Is now Peterson going to get more playing time? So, yes, fantasy-wise, it would certainly bother me. And I think it would be a mistake for the Buccaneers as well. It's not something I would really want to do. That's why I'd rather go Murray. He's someone you can go away from quicker. You're probably not quite as worried. But even Tampa Bay, I wouldn't go Murray either. You seem to have enough of these backs where you don't need the veteran who doesn't have much left, not much tread on the tire, as the saying goes. I just don't see these two teams as being a match for either one of these players.
I think that's a great point. Let's wrap up the running backs with this then. Are you someone who would rather have, at the moment, Ronald Jones or Royce Freeman out of Oregon, drafted by Denver?
Oh, man. I'm probably going to go... if you're including the situations, I'm probably going to go Ronald Jones. I do like what he can do there in Tampa. Good passing game. Because you got Evans, you got DeSean Jackson. You're not going to see too many safeties in the box. Not that you're going to see it a whole lot in Denver either. But I'm just not so sure I trust Case Keenum again. That seems to me a little Cinderella story there, where he's going to turn back into a pumpkin. It's the matter of when the devil's going to come collect his soul. Yeah, I think I mixed two metaphors there, Cinderella and the devil. Always good. Love my Walt Disney. I just think, you know, it's he had sort of had that career year last year, Keenum, and I'm just not so sure he can do it again. Not that Winston's really done much of anything. Yeah, you still wait for him to be the quarterback we thought he could be. I think it's close, but if I had my choice, I could take both, whatever round, I would go Jones first.
We can now disagree, because I actually don't know how far off the cliff Keenum will fall, which doesn't sound like much of a compliment, but here's the thing that I'm starting to just come to terms with, right? Jeff Fisher ruined everybody, because Nick Foles was good when he showed up to St. Louis and then was horrible and then won a Super Bowl MVP. Jared Goff looked like one of the worst rookie quarterbacks we'd ever seen. And it looked like not only was he always never going to be draftable and was going to be cut, but pretty much if we were talking fantasy purposes, anybody that was going to be in an offense with Jared Goff as the quarterback stood no chance. We saw how that offense looked last year. And then Case Keenum, again, away from Jeff Fisher, was so freaking good in Minnesota to where, do I think that Nick Foles is really a Super Bowl MV caliber quarterback? No, that's pretty lofty. But I actually think that Nick Foles might be one of the 20 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Do I think that Case Keenum is a guy that you can rely on to carry a squad to the NFC Championship or Conference Championship games year after year? No, a lot of that had to do with there being incredible talent on both sides of the ball in Minnesota. But he's a lot better than we thought, and I think that same stands true for Jared Goff. So to me, I actually kind of like that situation in Denver, and I don't think that it's going to be a spot where they're going to be able to just so easily pick on the offensive side of the ball, or at least focus in only on the run because Case Keenum is a complete zero as a passer. I actually think that he is one of those guys that is certainly a starting-level quarterback in the NFL, because I just think that Jeff Fisher ruined everybody.
You know, we have quarterback whisperers and such in the NFL. Well, Jeff Fisher may have been a quarterback killer. It's hard, dog. He really had some issues there. I know, listen, when the Giants, when we all knew the Giants were going to get a new head coach last season, and his name came up with the Giants, as a Cowboy fan, I'm like, yes, hire Fisher.
Right.
Please hire Fisher. That'd be great. Right? Get rid of the Giants for a couple of years. He had some issues, no doubt. I don't know. He definitely hurt Goff. I think Fisher did. He's hurt maybe another quarterback. I just don't know if Keenum all of a sudden is this great quarterback. Great, too strong, or even good, above average NFL quarterback. I just can't see it. But he's got the weapons there. You know, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. They even drafted the rookie wide receiver. It's the offensive line that's where my point is. Not so sure they've done enough there yet. That's where my biggest worry is. That's why I went with Ronald Jones.
Let me ask you for a point of reference. Case Keenum in Denver, or would you rather have Eli Manning, who is now with Keenum's old buddy Pat Shurmur?
I'm more than likely going to go with Eli.
Mm.
Has really nothing to do with Shurmur. It's just the weapons.
Yeah.
I think the Giants offensively are going to score a boatload of points. Almost said another word there. I'll try and keep it PG. A boatload, even though I know it doesn't matter. I just think the Giants, I mentioned the offensive weapons they have. I mean, this is a pretty good offensive team if that offensive line can improve just somewhat. And they drafted for it, and like I said, they signed Nate Sutter. So theoretically, it should improve and maybe improve drastically for the Giants there. You think about it. I'll say it again. Odell Beckham, he'll be back. You know, and I think that the ankle will be fine. He'll be back to 100%. Sterling Shepard, who was good last year, he'd be better as a number two. After that, I think it's a little iffy as the number threes and fours, little depth problems there. And if either one of them gets hurt, that'll be an issue. Evan Engram, I love a tight end. I think he's going to have a breakout season. May end up being a top five tight end fantasy-wise by the end of the year. The weapons are there. If that offensive line can give Eli time, and if Eli realizes it, because older quarterbacks, especially getting up at Eli's age, they're feeling the hits now. Even when the hits aren't there, they're feeling the hits throwing off their back foot, not stepping into throws as much. And that worries me. Because Eli has definitely felt these hits. You know, so that's why I worry somewhat here. But if I'm picking between the two, Eli and Keenum, and I play in a lot of super flex leagues, two quarterback leagues, my favorite type of leagues, so I'll have to make decisions like this because I will be picking these guys. I'm going to go with Eli. But that being said, if I was playing in, let's say, four of these leagues and I had Eli in two in my third league, then I'd probably switch. I wouldn't want Eli in all four. I would want to spread the risk a little bit. And I can see myself, and once again, if it's Eli or Keenum, then going with Keenum probably invite, like, sorry, four leagues, I would probably take Eli 3, Keenum 1.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I agree with the weapons point, right? Like, it's a lot easier for me to say that I trust Odell Beckham than Demaryius Thomas. I feel better about trusting Saquon Barkley than Royce Freeman. And ultimately, too, right? I mean, Pat Shurmur offensively, you trust more than Vance Joseph, who's a defensive coordinator, right? Who's now the head coach. So, you know, at least he's defensive-minded in that way. So the emphasis in New York for the Giants is going to be on the offensive side of the ball. On the other side, for New York, right, with the Jets, their quarterback situation, I find it's incredibly interesting here. With Sam Darnold obviously getting drafted, there was a report that had just come out about Teddy Bridgewater where they're saying that his trade value is trending upwards. That's what Rich Cimini of ESPN is reporting, saying that he was one of the bright spots of last week's OTAs. And, I mean, when you think about Teddy Bridgewater, what he was pre-injury, now, I mean, post-injury, we really haven't seen him save. I think he came in at the end of their Week 17 game through one pass that I think was, I know it was intercepted. I think it was returned for a touchdown, actually. But, I mean, that's just an isolated instance, so you can't take much from that. I mean, is Teddy Bridgewater a guy, and I'm not even talking fantasy, that you could even imagine being a starting quarterback next year?
Yeah, they said his trade value is trending up. Okay, how so? How so? Because the Jets don't need him anymore? So now his trade value is trending up? What has this guy done? What has he done in the NFL? He's had two seasons. Completion percentage was 64.4 and 65.3. Solid. It's over 3,000 yards and 3,200. Okay, that's nothing. 14 touchdowns 1 year against 12 interceptions, 14 to 9 the next year. That's not very good. What do you mean his trade value is trending up? What are you going to get, a seventh-round pick for him? I mean, is his trade value trending up because it had no trade value a month ago, so now he has some? I mean, someone thinks he's going to come in and be a starting quarterback. Can he run anymore? Does he have the same mobility anymore after the injury? That was a devastating injury. Devastating. You know, so to say his trade value is trending up, I mean, it's I make the joke, but is it really? I don't think it's really a joke. He had no trade value. Now you might get a seventh-round pick. Okay, that means his trade value is trending up. You know, but you're not getting anything really worthwhile here as far as a top pick here. And who needs a quarterback? You know, we just had a draft where a whole bunch of quarterbacks went. He's going to be in that same category as these guys as far as learning a new system. He might sit for a while until he gets it. I said, I even when he was healthy, I didn't see the next great quarterback here. Didn't see it. You know, and obviously the Vikings didn't see it either, or else they would have signed him over Cousins. You know, so they had some issues as well here. But even if you're looking at a trade, you got to look throughout the NFL, right? Who needs a quarterback right now that'd be willing to give you a good draft pick? I mean, everybody's pretty much either signed one or they just drafted one. I mean, I'm looking up and down here. Who needs a quarterback? I mean, really, can anybody name me a team that's going to give you a top pick for it? I'm through half the league right now. Don't see anybody. I mean, really don't see anybody. Without an injury here or something else happening here, I mean, the only team that's close right now, Cincinnati, maybe if they want to cover themselves for Dalton, they did lose McCarron, but I don't see them giving up a top pick here. Other than that, there is no team here that's going to give up a top, any kind of top pick, 1, 2, 3, 4 for Bridgewater. I don't see that whatsoever. Like I said, I just went through the entire league. It's not going to happen.
I think, too, I mean, I'm here myself. I'm looking at it. And, I mean, first of all, I couldn't agree more in terms of the fact that pre-injury, like, why, I don't know why people were acting as if Teddy Bridgewater was something that he was. He was not good, point blank period. I remember getting into an argument with someone who said he almost beat the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. They lost that game. They'd scored 9 points on 3 field. He didn't do anything. He did nothing in that game.
It was 9,000 degrees below zero. That's why they almost beat the Seahawks.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was just, I was like, what a disingenuous comment to say he almost beat the Seattle Seahawks in a playoff game. He was not that great of a quarterback. So to say that he's one of the bright spots, I mean, what does that mean? That he's actually out there moving? I mean, not to be disrespectful, but obviously the way that things last ended off for him, yeah, that sounds like that was something that would now give some value to the fact that he's out there moving, he's completing some passes. Maybe Jets beats reporters are just completely blown away that someone isn't Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty, and they now think that they're seeing the second coming of Joe Namath, because it's not a disgrace what they're putting out there. But I don't see a scenario where, even if there were a big injury, let's just say what happened to Teddy, right? The first phone call is not to the Jets for Teddy Bridgewater. It's to the Eagles for Nick Foles. We know that. We all know that. And I don't know if the next phone call is to the Jets. Maybe it's a team wants to try Mike Glennon in Arizona. And honestly, if a team called the Jets, they might be asking for McCown instead of Teddy Bridgewater. So the idea that the trade value is trending upwards, I like you said, look, if it's at zero and now it's at one, sure, that's great. But I don't know what scenario here a team is checking in on Jets OTAs to see the progression of Teddy Bridgewater when even if there were a catastrophic injury that happened to a team's quarterback who wanted to be competitive, is all of a sudden turning around and saying, oh, Teddy's the guy we're going to put our faith in to keep us relevant? I can't see that.
Yeah, you get once again, you get no argument with me. I'm with you. I would throw AJ McCarron in there. I would rather call Buffalo to see if he's available. I have some faith in him. But yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, I think it is one of those situations where it was zero, now it's at one. Okay, it trended up.
We're coming back. Final segment of Fantasy Sports Today. That's next here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. When the
We're back here for the final segment of Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up after this is going to be George again. Lucky you, listener. It's going to be George and Coors from 12 to 2 at Fantasy Football Friendly. And then we're going to have the Tout Wars with Lauren Michaels and Justin from 2 to 4 here on the network. So a ton of good programming to keep you locked in here. So much good stuff. George, we actually had a complaint from the producer, Rob. He's a Jets fan. And he feels like we're giving him slander. I mean, if we can do a positive spin, I, you know, not to get too caught up in the draft talk, right? I mean, I know it happened a bit ago, but I will say.
I don't need your pity.
But what I do think that was phenomenal for the Jets is the fact that they preemptively traded up to number 3 and got the guy that they would have selected at number 1. I think that was one of the biggest wins of the entire draft.
I mean, as far as the Jets are concerned, they did. I would have taken Darnold number 1, so I think they did get that. But hey, if I'm gonna be a pessimist, the Jets gave up what, a whole truckload of number of second round picks for Darnold, and yet the price during the draft wasn't that high. You know, all of a sudden you didn't need to give up that much to move up. All of a sudden the quarterback, the value fell here during the draft, which is unusual. You know, people with Chris and the Jets were giving up all those picks to go from 6 to 3. They ended up being right. You didn't need that. But that being said, none of this matters if the Jets drafted the right quarterback.
Yep.
You could give your entire draft if you got the right quarterback. I think they did. I think they got the best quarterback in the draft. So I do like how it ended up for the Jets. But it's easy to make fun of the Jets, right? They've been a joke for a while. I'm sorry, Rob. They have. And they still have work to do here. You know,
I'm not laughing.
This is not
a
complete team whatsoever.
Where's the joke?
It's not a Cowboy fan. We have issues of our own.
Yeah.
George, this is what happens when the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I just laugh throughout football segments now, and then all of a sudden things will go awry, and I'll be a mess again. But let me ask you, George, in terms of these rookie quarterbacks that went in the first round, expectations, not fantasy-wise, but just do you see these guys? Because I actually am starting to think that Darnold might end up starting week 1 for the Jets.
Well, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, right? A lot of it depends on all the OTAs and training camp and how quickly they pick up the offense. You know, it's, for some, it's easier than others. We live in a microwave society now. So we want instant satisfaction, instant gratification. I remember years ago, quarterbacks sat for 2 to 3 years before they started to play. You know, it's not like that anymore. You rarely see them sit a season. You might see them sit a month. You know, I have a hard time believing we won't see Donald, at some point this season? Because I'm sorry, Rob, Jets aren't going to compete for a playoff spot this year. So sooner or later, that's not a dig. It's true. Come on.
It's true.
Sooner or later, you got to see what you have in Donald. You know, and I, if I'm a Jet fan for that matter, I want him to work out his rookie problems during a year where it doesn't matter. You're not making the playoffs anyway, so let's get out of the rookie jitters here. Get out of the rookie mistakes and play him this season. So I think at some point he does have to play. You know, same thing in the Cleveland, same thing in Baltimore. I guess Baltimore, you could make an argument they maybe could be a playoff team, but even then, you're not winning the Super Bowl, and Joe Flacco's gone after this year anyway. So I think there you sort of maybe you want to wait there to see until you get officially eliminated. But see, I don't want to start a rookie quarterback from week one in a year where I think I can compete, because you're going to have to go through those mistakes, and that might cost you a couple of games, and it might end up costing you a playoff spot. So why not work him out, let him play, work through those issues when you think he's ready? And that's the key thing. I don't automatically say week one. When you think he's ready, if it's week four, week six, week eight, whichever it might be. Generally in the NFL, it's very popular for these for quarterback changes to happen after the bye week, because he gets 2 or 3 weeks of practice there. So whatever that is, if it works out well for you, fine. But I generally want that rookie quarterback to figure it out after after he's set to go, make those mistakes during a year where it doesn't matter. But what everyone remembers is all the young quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks who had great rookie seasons. You know, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott. You know, because that gets all the pub, and we don't talk about the guys who failed.
Mm.
You know, and you got to be very careful here, because like I said, the most important thing for the Jets is really not this year; it's getting Donald ready for the future, the next 10 years, and. None of us knows yet. The Jets don't know yet when that is. But, these coaches need to be honest with themselves. It's really not about winning games. You probably could win more games if McCown started all 16 this year. But it's about doing what's best for Donald in the future. And that's also where you're playing that game again. The head coach may want to win games this year because he wants to save his job. 7-9 certainly looks better than 4-12, even though the 4-12 may be better for your long-term future. But if the head coach is not part of that future, you know, they don't make decisions always based on what's best for the team, believe it or not. Huh. Sometimes it's what's best for them, and, you know, to win games in the immediate future, the now, because that's what, Bowles has to be worried about being fired, has to be worried about it.
Yeah.
So he may want to keep McCown in there for longer to win those games until he's sort of either forced, told, or realized he has no choice anymore but to go to Sam D.
You know, the thing is, actually, I think the number is, and it's going to sound wild, I think the last time a first-round quarterback didn't play his entire rookie season was Aaron Rodgers. So that's, first of all, the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't play his rookie season is so funny. Obviously, Brett Favre made sense at the time, just considering how good he is. But, that lets you know, it's been a long time since a team has been able to draft a guy in the first round and resist putting him on the field. Last year, we were close. Pat Mahomes only played because the Chiefs had nothing to play for in that Week 17, so they got him a game, which was really smart. That was really, really smart, and it worked out well for him. But, the thing is, I very well think that we could see Darnold as the Week 1 starter for this team. I think that Rosen is up against the most competition because Sam Bradford's really good. But anybody that knows anything about Sam Bradford is, he might not even make it to Week 1. And it's unfortunate because I do think he's a good quarterback. But if the health isn't there, I think Rosen would beat out Glennon no problem. I think that Baker Mayfield's in a scenario where I expect Tyrod Taylor to win that job. But the second that team is under 500, and that means if they start 0-1, they're going to call for Baker Mayfield. They're going to do it immediately. Now, the Bills situation is a little tough because I don't think Josh Allen is very good. I'm not super sold on A.J. McCarron either. But the situation is so abysmal that maybe they'll say, listen, we're not putting him out there. Kelvin Benjamin had offseason surgery. Zay Jones just got announced for more for surgery here. Their wide receiver core is in a bad spot. They lost a number of offensive linemen there. So I think you'd be really remiss to throw him out there to the Wolves like that, because he's already, I think, a step behind a lot of these guys. And then Lamar Jackson's behind Joe Flacco, and if the Ravens are competing, then I think that it would be tough for Lamar to get on the field, but you never know. Expectations-wise, though, do you think that you could expect anything out of these guys year one? Are any of these guys, are you saying, I expect them to be on the field for talent reasons. I find it so incredibly odd. I think the Brown situation is one that really attracts me, where I think that Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback, and he is still trying to fight for his spot in this league. Like, he wants to be a team's guy, right? Like, Bradford's gone through the ringer. McCown's already said that all he cares about is making sure that Sam Darnold is good. Flacco's had his chance and is going to see it slip out of his fingers, where Tyrod Taylor's still looking to get a real stranglehold on a position. And he's going to have Baker Mayfield breathing down his neck from day one.
But, you know, you sort of hinted at it. All right, whenever these quarterbacks throw an incompletion, the fans are going to be calling.
Yeah, it's true.
For the first round pick. That's just the way it is. I mean, forget it. If he has one bad game, speaking of Tyrod Taylor, Cleveland's going to want to hear or talk about is Baker Mayfield. When's he starting? Yeah, when's he going to get in there? When are we going to get Baker? When's Baker? And it's not fair to Taylor. Now, Taylor, once again, is probably a top 32 quarterback, so deserves a starting job. You know, he got run out of Buffalo. You know, they never really fully committed to him, which is strange. I understand he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be a great quarterback. I understand that. You know, but he's still, when I say top 32, I don't think that's doing him enough credit. I think he's probably top 20. You know, maybe top, he's in the top 2/3 of the quarterbacks in the NFL. But yes, he's not special. You know, and they're going to see that in Cleveland as well. You know, and the first round quarterbacks could be special. So they're going to be calling for him. Out of all the quarterbacks you're talking about, I don't see myself drafting any in one of these super flex leagues or two quarterback leagues I play in. Not as a starter. They could all be drafted as reserves if they're going to start. Every quarterback gets taken. The one quarterback who I know will be drafted will be Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, because I think they'll have a package for him. You know, so he will get some kind of playing time. And you might think, oh, that doesn't matter. He's only going to get, you know, a couple of throws a game. In a super flex league, I'll say it again, every quarterback has value. Because in bye weeks, there's no one to pick up. So if he's only going to play 10 plays a game, no, that's certain, a couple amount of points he might get for you, so he'll take them. Other than that, it depends on these guys start. You know, I think there's a good chance, a really good chance that, assuming that they play well in preseason, that Josh Rosen does start over Bradford. You know, I think they know Bradford's not going to stay healthy. See, it's funny, the way I look at things, and with Cleveland, specifically with Cleveland, which is unfair to Taylor, because I think out of all the quarterbacks that are starting ahead of the first round picks, Taylor may be the best. But if I'm Cleveland, you know, you pretty much have a brand new offense here with everyone that was brought in. I mean, you got Carlos Hyde now, you're running back in Chubb. Your wide receivers, Jarvis Landry is brought in. Josh Gordon's back now full time. Njoku is 1 year in. I might, assuming Baker Mayfield doesn't fall on his face during OTAs and training camp, I might want all these guys to learn together. You know, starting from, if not day one, early in the season, just all learn together. You know, rather than, you know, you start in Tyrod Taylor, he plays the whole season, Mayfield sits, then you got to have this whole offense change next season with Mayfield. Because, you know, part of the problem is Tyrod Taylor is a scrambling, mobile quarterback. It's going to change the offense. I know, once again, I know Mayfield can move, but it's going to change it a little bit when he's back there. And it's another situation where I think Cleveland's on the up. You know, I do think they've got much more talent than they've had here. I don't want to give up next year too, you know. So I think I might want to change that there. That might be a situation. Buffalo's another chance where I like McCarron, you know, but I think Josh Allen's going to start sooner than later. I think Buffalo made a mistake. I would have taken Rosen over Allen. I wasn't in love with their reasoning about really why they chose Josh Allen, because they wanted they like the arm strength to fight through the bad weather in Buffalo. You know, you play 8 home games. Okay. They're not all going to be awful weather there. Maybe you get 2-3 really big games there. You know, is that really enough to have a quarterback? If you thought Rosen was the better overall quarterback, is that enough to go with Allen over him because of a couple of possible bad weather games? So I wasn't thrilled with that. But I think he has a very good chance to start there as well. If they don't like Allen, we know it's not going to be Peterman, right? He was horrible. So that'd be a guy, once again, in these two quarterback leagues, I do expect him to get drafted, because you may not know at draft time who the starting quarterback is going to be there.
Yeah, I think the Browns point you made is incredibly interesting. Especially, though, the one thing is, even if they went with Mayfield right away, they may have to turn this whole thing over again, because I don't know if Hugh Jackson is going to be able to hold on to that job. I don't know what they... Because the expectation...
Really, you don't think 1-31 gets you job security?
It is so crazy that that man still has that job. It is so. How do you go 1-15 and get worse and keep your job? It's unbelievable. It's unreal that he kept that job. Unreal. And the thing is, there are going to be expectations this year. They're going to have to win at least 6 games if he's going to want any chance of holding on to that job. And I don't think they're going to win 6 games.
Austin, I have no idea how he was. I mean, how do you sell that to your fan base? I mean, really, he seems like a very nice guy. You know, kind of guy I wouldn't mind having a drink with, you know, going out to dinner with. But, I mean, 1-31, you have all these picks, new management, too, which is even more surprising. Because when you have new management, generally you want to hire your own guys here. So were they told they had to keep him, which is what I'm guessing.
It seemed like the players hated him.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I think they were told to keep him. The ownership said, you have no choice here. You can take over GM, but you got to keep this guy. You know, in which case, obviously, that's a mistake as well. You know, you can't do that. It's a sunk cost. When you're hiring the new GM, you gotta let the GM hire his own people. You really do, or else generally it's not going to work. It's just going to come down to you're going to fire him a year later and start this process all over again, which is, once again, that's why I like to get rid of it all at once. I want everyone to start on a fresh, clean slate.
Yeah, let's close here, George, because there is a basketball game tonight, and I know that you're not a basketball guy, but I'm. Are you going to watch though, or is there no interest there? There's no appeal.
If you didn't tell me there was a basketball game tonight, odds are I would not have known.
Oh man, George, I don't know how that's possible. Is it?
I like to play basketball. I play it, mm-hmm. but I haven't watched probably since the 80s, back with the Showtime with the Lakers. Mm. To me, I mean, like I said, I enjoy playing the game, watching it in the last couple of minutes, takes an hour and a half. It puts me to sleep. I can't deal. I can't deal with all the timeouts and all the BS. And, you know, I don't know all the basketball rules. I'm not going to tell you I do. But I do know you really can't take 4 or 5 steps to make a dunk. And I think it's called traveling. They do it constantly in the NBA. And that drives me insane. Like I said, I have nothing against the game. They're athletic. God's grace, and LeBron's great, and blah, blah, blah. But I know I've been tested on this, I believe, by Engel, Ronis at a time. At one time, I couldn't name you 5 basketball players.
Really?
And I'm not sure I can do it now.
I'm not going
to...
I'm not going to put you to that. I'm not going to put you to that test, because that's just going to upset me. And I wanted to make an attempt to sell you on it, because it's actually going to be, it should at least be a fascinating game where you've got LeBron, who's one of the best players the NBA's ever seen, playing a Game 7 to go back to the NBA Finals for what would be an incredible 8th straight year in a row. He's playing it in Boston, one of his longstanding rivals. The Celtics haven't lost a single game at home this playoff run. There's a lot there. There's a lot there to be intrigued by. But, I mean, if it is not for you, sir, then... And it is not for you, which I kind of, I don't know why it's crushing me to a degree. But again, if I told you how little hockey I watched, it would probably be a similar feeling.
I'm pretty much a to each their own person. I've gotten on Scott Engel for not watching hockey because there's reasoning to me that this doesn't make sense. That to me it's exciting. I mean, it has everything an American should want. It's fast paced, fighting, hits, but I guess not enough goals scored. I get it, and it could be hard to follow the puck. So no, I won't watch any of the basketball game tonight. I have 3 TVs above my fireplace. Not that there's 3 things on tonight. There isn't. Not tonight. I'll be watching the baseball game. That'll be one. And maybe watch a movie or something on.
You have 3 TVs and you can't put the basketball game on one? George!
I have zero George! Interest. No one in my house cares. I live with 4 women, man. No one cares. Who's playing? I don't even know. Is LeBron playing it tonight?
Yes, it's LeBron. It's LeBron versus the Celtics.
Yeah, no interest, none.
None? You have 3 TVs?
I cared back in the 80s. Celtics, Lakers. Bird Magic.
Just throw an old basketball game on then. Just humor me. Just put like a class.
There's a better chance that I'm going to throw an old cowboy game on than a basketball game tonight, okay?
Oh, George, you're the best. All right, that'll do it for us here on Fantasy Sports today. Guess what? More George is coming up next. He's on Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey. Next week, it'll be me and Mike Blewett again here on Fantasy Sports today. George, thank you for filling in. Thank you for sticking with us throughout the weekend. Coming up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network is Fantasy Football Frenzy. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next time.